Yep. I was hoping you'd forget about this.
Hello, turn tonight to the third epistle of John. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Amen. Amen.
I was always looking for a verse that would say you shouldn't text some things. Well, just read it in verse 14. Some things need to be done face to face. Three, five, six, was it?
Yeah.
3, 5, 6.
I must tell Jesus.
Two things on my mind singing that song. One is the verse in 1 Peter 5, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I typically say it's verse 9, but I know I'm wrong in that, so I'm not quoting the verse. I think it's 6 or 7, but it's in 1 Peter 5 and 9. 5. I don't know why 9 stuck in my head, but verse 9 is. The other thing in my mind is the story of Shrek the sheep. He escaped from the flock from the shepherd and was hiding out in caves. And I don't know how many months for, but a number of months, and he was found 50 pounds heavier because of all the wool that had grown over the time he was away. Just reminds us that once we don't go to the shepherd, we're heavier with the burdens that we're carrying. So remember to tell it to Jesus. Do you want to do announcements, or do you want me to do a bad job of it?
I can do announcements just
from there if you want. Yep.
The only one, obviously. Everybody has private prayer requests that maybe they don't want to make public by details of. That's fine. The Lord knows what those are. So I'm sure each one of us has. The only other thing, differently this morning, there were a few souls that we were praying for that had lost loved ones. Norman, particularly, I know like January seems like such a long time ago. For me, it doesn't, because it was... Literally, I was a couple of weeks out of the hospital whenever that happened. And not much else has been happening in my life since, so it's a bit fresh. There was the cousin's family in Kilkeel that lost a husband and a father there about a month ago, left a young family behind. The Gilbert family over in Black Creek. Thankfully, they had a wedding there just yesterday, so some good news to temper the bad news. One name that I forgot that was on my mind today was a lady by the name of Dorothy Cardwell. Now, the name might not be familiar, but the wheaten bread, the apple pies, and the rhubarb pies that was the wee lady that used to work in the shop, but she'd always hand me a bag of buns or a couple of whatever else. She said, "Would you like a wee bun?" I said, "I wouldn't say no," and she would tell me to pick whatever. She was given just 3 months to live with cancer within the past month. We sent a card on behalf of the church and just let them know that, just in case you had forgotten, because obviously I hadn't been able to be up. Just reminded her that who it was that it was, and left her a phone number, so if she wanted to talk, she could talk. But please do pray for Dorothy, and the Lord will know who you're talking about. Appreciate your prayers for our family as well. Monica's uncle Ron passed away. Appreciate Will reminding them. And the funeral is going to be on Wednesday. So your prayers appreciated for the extended family there. And that wee fellow that got that fence post right through him, he's out of hospital, Christy was telling us, and he's at home. I'm sure he's taking life a bit easier for a bit. Please do, because Aaron is his name, isn't it? Ethan, why do I keep calling him Aaron? I don't know. Pray for Ethan and the family. It's a very thought-provoking time. Is there anything else I may have forgotten? What was up with this? Oh, I knew it was something. My sister-in-law's husband, his niece, took her own life there not that very long ago. She would only have been, 32. So pray for her family. It's very, I'm afraid they're all, he came from a Catholic family, he got saved out of a Catholic family, a very Catholic family, and he has one daughter that is, I think she's trying to turn into a man. She's transitioned into a man. Her name was Kelly. I don't know what she's calling herself now, but I've been praying for her for years, so pray for his family. There's a lot, the devil is just giving that whole family a rough ride right now. Please pray for Dave's family, Mark's brother-in-law's family. That'll be good. Anything else? Anybody got anything else they'd like to add? Christy, anything?
Anything on Charlie's commission?
Charities Commission, I haven't heard anything since I sent off the last letter, which normally is good news, because if there was anything to change on it, they would have it back to me fairly quickly. I hope and pray that all of this that's going on works in our favour and they just push it on through. Charities Commission, and we got a letter from the Stan was talking to you about the letter he received from the Registrar of Births, Deaths and Marriages. Was I saying to you guys about the sending an apology letter without the removing the threatening paragraph from the last one, that if you didn't apply, tick the box, you would be removed from the register? So obviously some anti-Christian sort didn't like the thought of leaving well enough alone. An addendum to that letter came in that said if you don't fill in any of your details, you will be left as an officiant of opposite of proper marriage, not an officiant of same-sex marriage. So it shows you it's out there, and there's lots of wee undertones of the opposition. So pray for the Charities Commission too. Church is fine as regards having someone to marry folks. Christy's got a lot of work on his plate at the moment with his PhD, so pray for Christy. And then the thoughtless pastor asks him to pull a service out of his hat every Sunday afternoon or for Sunday night, so, and I appreciate it still. Please pray for Christy, he's doing fine that job, and for yourselves. So appreciate all your help these past 8 months. So I think that's about that, don't you? Can you think of anything else? Absent brethren, pray for Frank, he's in London, getting accommodation sorted out for the university year, and pray for Esther, Leonard, Pat, Steve, Norman, and Ling as well, and Dr. Shane, I think that's a good plan. Thank you.
Alright, anyone got, we'll sing one more, if one person has a favourite. Quick draw.
Channels only.
What number? It's 2 something, is it?
Not sure.
Maybe not. I don't know.
What is it?
Channels only.
That's
just
332. Sometimes she gets to pick a favorite. Sometimes she gets to pick a favorite.
Travels only, blessed.
take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 5. This will be your last study in Acts chapter 5. I don't know if it's part 4 or part 5, it's one of those, but it's part 10. And Lord willing, we'll finish tonight. Acts 5, and the title this evening is The Unceasing Church. The Unceasing Church. Just in case my pronunciation's bad, that's C-E-A-S-I-N-G. When I say eyes, I get slagged for sounding like ice. If I say you couldn't watch it with a bag of ice, couldn't watch it with a bag of ice? Well. Mm-hmm. These are from the same country, so it's alright.
Thank you.
You've been here long enough, you're from here. Starting at verse 33, reading until the end. It says, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thetis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen. Mark, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength, for the freedom that we still have to gather together and to lift up your praises, for the souls that are here, Father, for the perseverance of the saints, Lord, for their desire to continue praising and to reading and studying and fellowshipping. And I pray, Lord, that you bless each soul here. Lord, please look into our hearts and minds and please deliver us our spiritual needs this evening. Pray especially for your servant, Brother Christy, that you would anoint him, that you would give him the words to say and the words that we need to hear. Please, Lord, accomplish your work in this church this evening. Please be with our absent brethren, wherever they might be. And please, Lord, I pray, wherever your servant is standing and preaching from the King James Bible, the full counsel of your word, would you bless and keep, and let your will be accomplished. Don't be done with us, Lord. Bless Brother Christy. Bless us too. Please, Lord, secure our brethren. Please save more lost souls. We ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, according to your will.
Amen. The purpose of the study in Acts was to notice a few characteristics of the early church. You know, every Bible believing born again Christian says that they're an old time Christian, and we say that we're an old time church, and we're founded upon the church in biblical times and the church standard, or the biblical standard for a church. A previous study led us in Acts chapter 5. It was, I think, the word is called an oxymoron, which means contradiction. You know, it was the fearless. Yet fearful church. When they were arrested as a church, the apostles, they were cast in prison. An angel of God came to them by night and set them free, and they were found again preaching in the temple the next day. Called again before the council, and they, in verse 29, their answer is, we ought to obey God rather than men. Having filled Jerusalem with their doctrine is what they were accused of. But here we are again, they're still standing before the Sanhedrin. This is not a different event. This is the same event. It's just I split it up into the study, and we'll see what goes on here as we further get through these verses. Verse 33, we see that After the apostles answered the accusation or the command against them to not speak in this name anymore, we see the Sanhedrin or this council is very wroth. They're full of fury. They're angry. They're even talking amongst themselves on how they could slay these men. It's almost like they had death sentence upon them from this moment. But then comes the voice of reason from amongst them, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, in the midst of this council, and he says, stand back from them, get back, give them a little space, is what he says. And he says unto the men of Israel, be careful what you think to do to these men. And reading this first, I thought, you know, Gamaliel was probably a Christian, but just digging down deep into it, I don't know, I'm not too sure if he was or not. He didn't say, lest you fight against God, he said, lest you be found even to fight against God. And thinking on that, and thinking of, they didn't arrest the apostles with violence because fear of the people. Maybe he just didn't want the council to be seen of the people to be fighting against God. That's up for debate. I'm not taking either stance. He could have been, may not have been. I just know that he was part of this council trying God's people. He gives two examples, one of Thetis and one of Judas of Galilee. He says, you know, why don't we just give them the test of time? Why don't we just let them see if it dies out? You know, their leader is dead, clearly. Here's two other leaders of cults or religious sects of the day that have died out, and their followers were dispersed and it came to nothing. Why don't we just wait and see? It was a wait and see attitude that he wanted the council to apply. And so they did. They agreed to it. But they beat them before they let them go. Compromise was reached. And do we think that these apostles were let off easy because they weren't put to death? One man said it like this. Being beaten can be translated to being skinned. He says the beating that they received took the skin off their back. Mm-hmm. And another said each of them got 39 stripes each. So I don't know if it was let off easy. I don't think it was. Many people have died from this kind of a beating. We talked about that months ago when we looked at some of the beatings that Jesus would put through and some of the physical reactions the body would have to such things. But these men walk away rejoicing and strengthened that they would be counted worthy to suffer such shame for the name of Jesus Christ. They were given a command as well as the beating. They said, don't go preaching in the name of Jesus again. That was their bail condition, if you like. We won't harm you if you don't preach in that name again. Walking away rejoicing. The rejoicing bit blows my mind, and we'll get to it later. But Gamaliel, he said, if this works of God, you can't overthrow it. He said, if these men are truly of God, there's nothing that you can do to stop it. And so today it has stood the test of time. Today the apostles' work and the apostles' words are still in this earth and still making a difference in men's lives. It truly is God's word. And we know not only from the signs that during these times that followed the words, but we know from the signs in our days that this word is true and this is of God. Just like Gamaliel said, you know, like Thetis or Thoidus, I don't know how you pronounce that, and Judas of Galilee, it would have died out if it were not true. These men were running for their lives when Jesus was crucified. They were hiding out. They were afraid that their card was stamped and they were next. And yet such a turnaround. They've had multiple oppressions. They've had multiple arrests, beatings, rejections. They've had people laugh at them and call them unlearned men. And who do you think you are speaking this and taking our people away from us and filling our country or our city with this doctrine that you're filling? And that's more than enough to get Christians of today to stand down and stop. But yet these men that were once fearful and cowering, almost mice and not men, here they are standing in the face of all oppression and persecution. There was a true difference made in their lives. See, they wanted to apply the test of time, but 2 Peter 3 and verse 8 says that our God's not limited by time. It says, be not ignorant of this one thing, brethren. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. God can walk up and down the corridors of time. He's not limited in the seconds it's ticking in that clock, just like we are. He can go back. He can turn it back if he wants to. And he can visit any point in time. He set time ticking. So how can he be constrained by something that he set in motion? To cease means to stop or discontinue or to bring to a close. And many churches and Christians have ceased a lot less than this beating that these disciples received. Many church splits have been caused over the silliest little things. There's many churches have started a gossip corner where they get together and they openly challenge the decisions of a pastor or a leader in the church. And they sow discord amongst themselves. And then they gather more to them. And then there's an opposite crowd as well that's for the decision but against something else in the church. And then there's a split and the church closes. Let us beware of gossip corners in our church. But the apostles, again with their words, they said in front of the council boldly and stood to their face and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They lived it out. They didn't just say that to the council. After they said, don't teach in this name any longer. Don't come into our synagogues, our temples. Don't teach our people. Rejoicing, they went to the temple daily, it says, and ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. But there was a new approach here as well. In every house, they didn't only go to the temple. In every house that received them, they started preaching and teaching Jesus Christ in that house. These men were of great strength. It is evident that the strength that they had with them walking away from such a beating rejoicing. Which one of us would happily take a black eye and say, thank you, Lord, that you counted me worthy to take a beating for you. Thank you, Lord, that I could play such a small part and suffer such a small thing of what Jesus suffered for me. I think some of us would say, well, I'm done with that. That's not worth a black eye. That's not worth, you know, getting stabbed for, or getting beaten, or getting rejected, or losing my job. I think we are like the early church. We're like the early church just after Jesus was crucified. We're hiding out. We've lost our strength. But these men truly believed in the words that they spoke here. I think a lot of us have a Christian vocabulary, but don't have the true belief behind it. If we did, we would be bringing our lives up to a higher standard, because we know that men are going to hell, that women are going to hell from watching our failures and our mistakes. But they've seen Jesus risen from the dead, and this made all the difference. And we sing about Christ arose often, and we shout it aloud, and I believe it. And it makes a true difference. But clearly there is a lack of belief of the resurrection in the church. Otherwise, the church would be strong. The church would be growing. People would be walking and talking with Jesus on a daily basis. And there are people there doing it. But as a whole, there's less than there are doing it. There's less people doing it than people not doing it. And that's sad to say. This early church also allowed the Holy Spirit to guide, lead, direct, and use them. Many times we read in the earlier verses and chapters in Acts that, you know, the Holy Spirit came and filled them. And men prophesied as the Holy Ghost, as they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But it's almost like a taboo subject in our day and age. We think of someone that's talking about being filled with the Spirit, that they're a happy clapper or they're Pentecostal. You know, and on that note as well, we think of someone shouting and screaming in the church that they're being filled with the Spirit. I think that's more of a show than it is of a Spirit-filled act.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that's wanting to drown out the preaching rather than rejoicing over it. But they continued and persevered with great courage in spite of the rejection, oppression, and the persecution. We don't even know what it's like to suffer persecution in Northern Ireland. We don't. Truly, we do not. Yes, we might lose a friend here and there, but as a whole, we're free to do what we like as a church and as a Christian. and how quick we are to get afraid, you know, to get jealous, to get offended in these days that someone didn't shake our hands, or someone didn't come round to the house, or someone didn't do this or didn't do that, or someone did this and did that. And he's a glory hunter because he's serving God and he's always taking the glory. And we just use any excuse just to step away and step down, and what a sad, sorry state we're in. Jealousy is a poison in this Christian walk that has halted many a Christian life. It's flowing through many a Christian's blood, and it's killing them one drip at a time. One drip of jealousy here and there, and it will kill you stone dead, your testimony. Church in Scotland was known for its craven displayed above the door. Carving, craven. For its carving displayed above the door. Which was taken from Proverbs 11:30, which says, "He that winneth souls is wise." And it was taken there so that every time it was placed there, I can't even speak tonight, it was placed there so that every time someone entered or left the building, they would know the object of the church's existence. It was for winning souls. And it also reminded them that God's work must be done in a wise way. It's not just a half-hearted attempt. It's not without any preparation or any guidance of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. We need the wisdom of God to be the church that God wants us to be. If we truly want God to bless us as a church, we need to be fully obedient. And we need to be fully prepared to obey. See, it's a race, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint, but guess what? Each step that we take, we're getting closer to the finishing line. And all that's going on in today's world, we're closer than we've ever been. And I know that's common sense, but when have we ever been such close to the mark of the beast, or so close to a cashless society? Never. Never in man's existence. And these atheists that are trying to push these ideas, you would think common sense would tell them, well, I don't believe in God, so I'm not going to prove his ways by doing these things. But yet, it seems like they're doing the opposite. They're fulfilling biblical prophecy. And they're not ignorant of it, because there's a lot of non-Christian people out there that's talking about it. There's a lot of non-Christian people out there that's saying this must be the end of the world. You know, the end must be soon with what's going on. So surely an atheist who is so strong against it would be aware of what the Bible says, if they've had any debates with Christians. I've ran multiple 5K races. And you know what keeps me going in a race? Is seeing someone in front of me keeping on going. If I see the person in front of me stop, and I start to think to myself, that person's fitter than me, and he's stopping, I need to stop as well, I'm getting tired. You start to feel the heaviness in your legs and the weakness in your mind and the tingling in the eyes, those little white, black and white dots that almost feel like stars. And you're thinking, I just need to stop and get a drink. When you see that person plugging on, that's your goal. You're thinking, if I can get up to him and beat him or her, then I'll run a good race. You see, you're in front of someone, Christian, and your steps are in front of someone. And someone's behind you and I looking at us and saying, if he keeps going, I'm going to keep marching. If he keeps walking, I'm going to keep marching. If she keeps running, well, I'm going to keep on behind her. But on the same note, on the flip side of that logic, Christian, when we stop and we feel sorry in ourselves and we sit down and we just take a break and take a drink of the pleasure of the world, then other younger Christians will say, well, if it's all right for him, it's all right for me. Because he knows God longer than I do, and he's been in church longer than I have, and he knows his Bible better than I do. So if it's acceptable for that Christian, well, get my lazy boy out and get my legs up. I'm going to start swinging. The rocking chair comes out. Many Christians park themselves in the pits of life that we face. The Bible says that a righteous man falls 7 times. We will fall. And I feel like I'm just repeating thoughts from previous messages and combining them into this. And that's okay. But I feel like. I know that there's a lot of churches ceasing today. And I know that the current pandemic has caused many Christians to cease being in church. It may not just be temporary. It may be permanent for some. And that's a sad thought, because we are ever so close to Jesus returning. It could be tomorrow. It could be today. It could be 10 years from now, but it's still one day less than it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And more so than that, we could breathe our last breath tonight. And there will be tears in heaven. The Bible says that Jesus will wipe away all tears. And I believe a lot of those tears will be because the Christians have ceased. They ceased preaching, they ceased praying, they ceased reading their Bibles, they ceased showing compassion and care. And with the Christian ceasing, the world goes on to hell. There is a rope of hope, and that is the Word of God. Don't park yourself in that pit. Reach for the rope of hope that's stretched out. That's the arm of God. He's there always, cheering us on, wanting the best for us, guiding and leading us over those humps and bumps along the road that set out in our path that the devil and Satan tries to get us to fall over and trip over. Sure, we all want to live in the mountaintops and the peaks of the mountains. The view's great from up there. But there's some coverage down in those peaks and down those valleys. If there's a mountain on either side of you and you're in a valley, you're not going to be hit hard with the weather. Sometimes we just need to get down there. And a lot of strength is built up when we're at the bottom and we need to climb up that hill. So keep on climbing. You're running in front of someone Christian. You stop and you ceasing could be the result of a whole church ceasing. Mm-hmm. I remember when I first got back in the church, there was many people here that I thought would never be out of church. And almost every single one of them's gone. You know, people that I looked up to when I was younger, people that had an influence in my life that, you know, I thought they were just strong Christians, and clearly they had a Christian vocabulary, or something happened along the way to cause them to be out of church. Paul said, "Be followers of me as I follow Christ," but many people just read, "Be followers of me." They don't read, "as I follow Christ." Sure, it's good to follow a man when he's following Christ, but he will let you down, or she will let you down. I don't know if it's on purpose or by accident or by design. Whatever happens, men and women will let you down. We fail. But Jesus never fails. Challenges tonight to not cease in our own private lives. Before there's ever a public ceasing, there's a private ceasing. Before there's a public fall, there's a private fall. Something in our private life ceases before it ever does. And you know, and that could just be as simple as keeping your Bible closed. It could be as simple as ceasing from fellowship. It could be as simple as ceasing from prayer that one time. And then goes the tithes, then goes the church attendance, and then goes our Christian walk. All together. Done. Let us be an unceasing church. Amen. Anyone have a hymn that they'd like us to close? What is it? 23. 23. Did I know it? Okay, good.
And stand or sit if you like.
Oh, Mark.
I said if you like.
Just because one we'll stand and you can still tell them.
Falling. Oops, sorry.
Wonder. the land. Would you be wider, much wider than so? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood.
For a second, imagine Jonah didn't eventually get to Nineveh. That would have cost the whole nation their salvation and repentance. Imagine Noah didn't obey and build the ark. There would have been no human beings on the earth left. So just imagine what us not being obedient will do. It may not be such an extent as a nation, but it may be a family member, it may be a friend. But also on that same note, imagine what us being obedient would do. Jonah eventually went down to Nineveh and all of them repented and got saved. Just imagine what us keeping on could do. People might just be like Gamaliel saying, just let them go and give them a test of time. Let's see if it dies out. Let's see if it's a passing phase. They might just be waiting for that day. You know, and maybe tomorrow's the day where they think it's been long enough. They've been faithful through it. God has to be true. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day, for these services that we had, Lord, that we're able to come into your house and worship again in this land. And I pray that you'd preserve this liberty that we have, Lord, that you'd guide our leaders in these days, Lord. With all that's going on, that you'd just lead in the laws that are being passed, Lord, please. Pray there'd be a time of reflection for them in the gay marriage, Lord, and the abortion laws. I pray that you would take victory in that. I pray, Lord, that this would be a time of reflection for each and every one of us, Lord, for the times when we're looking for an out, for the times when we've grown tired along the way, Lord, and just thought that it'd be easier to quit. Forgive us when we have those thoughts, Lord. Help us to purpose in our hearts tonight to continue along the way, to walk those steps, Lord, to fight a good fight, to finish our course, to keep the faith, Lord, as Paul said. Lord, there's a crown waiting for all those who do, your word says as well. So, Lord, you're not only faithful here on earth, Lord, you reward those that stay the course in eternity as well. Thank you for your faithfulness, for staying with us, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Help us, Lord, remember our absent brethren. Lord, just lift up the sick, Lord, those that are sick, and we pray that you provide and save their souls. Remember those grieving families as well, that you'd, Lord, be with everyone, touch everyone, Lord, and save any of them that's lost. Remember Dorothy, Lord, in her last months alive. I pray that you'd consider you, Lord, that you'd save her soul, please. Thank you for everything, Lord. Just walk with us, guide us in your will, we pray. Help us to be, Lord, an unceasing church. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you, Billy.
I'm getting an elbow for that one.
I'm quite surprised to see that.